empty room, a voiceless crew at the edge of the moon, the empty room, nothing is in it,
it's the interview. Podcast episode whatever. You don't care? No, he doesn't care. All right, episode whatever. My name is Scott, and with me is Eric.
Hello.
And we are the Empty Room Podcast, and we're gonna get down and dirty from the get-go.
Dirty?
Starting with the sports.
We're gonna get dirty.
Let's start with the sports, shall we?
Fine.
A couple things that might be fun to talk about. Let's talk about those Patriots. Boy, oh boy, that was not the opening that we were expecting.
No, but we had injuries, and we just had some bad plays.
And more injuries, and Tom Brady played like a pimple on the ass of progress. I don't believe that's how he normally is going to play, but still, did not play well. And yeah, it was not a good opening fight, but they are going to get back to work this Sunday versus those pesky Saints with Drew Brees. Eric, who you got?
Patriots.
By how much?
I don't care.
He doesn't care. You might care about this stat, though. Ben Roethlisberger, you love Roethlis, is now the winningest quarterback in Browns history. He's won more games at Browns Stadium than any other quarterback in Browns history. So he's the winningest quarterback in Browns history. He plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do you think of that, Eric?
Well, the Browns suck, so I'm not exactly surprised by this.
But it is a brutal stat.
It is brutal.
He is the man in Cleveland. Moving on to the Celtics, there's nothing to report, so let's move on.
Okay.
The Red Sox have some issues. So they are 3 up right now, currently as we speak, on the Yankees in the race for the pennant. Mm-hmm. And recently, there's been some bad news and some good news. Good news, Ortiz has signed Big Poppy to work in the front office forever. I wish I had a deal that signed me up forever.
How long is his contract for? Until he's dead.
It doesn't stop. And even when he goes, he's still on board.
Even when he goes, we're going to download his brain into a computer so he can still work.
And hopefully he'll show up on time. Because forever is a hell of a commitment.
It is a hell of a commitment.
And I have to live up to that standard. It's hard. So there's that. But there are other issues as well. For example, last night, a bunch of theater majors from BU hung a banner saying that everybody was racist.
Oh, yeah. Racism is as American as baseball. I read that.
So, number one, what the heck's going on at BU? Number two, they did it during a situation where they were congratulating or celebrating a person who is a veteran for the U.S. military.
Yeah.
Not cool, man.
They don't care. Leftists don't care about that.
Not cool. So, And of course,
millennial leftists don't care.
The Red Sox gave all four of those clowns a little slap on the wrist and escorted them out, but not banned for life, not an issue at all. And I think this is going to be a theme for today's sports section. Look, I don't care, and we've talked about this before, Eric, that in this podcast, we don't really care about left versus right.
I do.
I know. I know.
Left sucks.
Let's.
The left is terrible.
And in this podcast,
the left is going to ruin this country.
This is not the venue.
Hillary Clinton's a murderer. Let me tell you why.
No. This is not the venue for that. Point is, we do not view left and right. We don't talk about it. We do like people to be consistent with the rules that they're giving out, and that is what's a problem here. If someone had hung a build the wall banner or some sort of other Trump situation type banner, I got a feeling they'd be banned for life.
Probably.
You know, so we want consistency. Is it now at the same time, let's finish that off with by stating it's within the Red Sox right to treat whoever they want how they want. It's their business, it's their field, their situation, we get it. But it doesn't look good.
It's a double standard, because those kids can do whatever the hell they want, and don't do it again.
Doesn't pass the smell test, and as Jerry Callahan talked about today on the morning show, WEEI, he said, basically, they've given them a ticket to do it again whenever they want. So I guess it doesn't matter. However, if you don't choose the side that they want, they will, you know, they'll come down harder.
Which I haven't.
I know.
I hate the left.
I know. I know. I hate the left.
Everything that stands for.
No. That's moving on.
Commie, pinko, socialist pieces of garbage.
Moving on. Okay. So, we'll tap dance to ESPN. I think the thing that's easily discussed with ESPN is, you know, what the fuck? Look, they got major issues over there. They are super left-leaning, and the biggest problem currently is this Jemele Hill story where she tweeted out that, by the way, it's well known now that Twitter's dangerous. You type anything on Twitter, you could get smoked in a very dangerous format that could cause you problems. She tweeted on Twitter that the president was a white supremacist, and first off, that's wrong.
It's not true.
Secondly, nothing happened. ESPN did pretty much nothing, although there was a story out that they tried to get her off the air, and she refused to go. And then when Michael Smith was told that they were taking her off the air, he refused to go on. And then they tried to get two other guys, and they would refuse to go on. So it's a dumpster fire over at ESPN.
Or fired all of them.
And
every single person that is like, "Oh, no, I'm not doing that, blah, blah, blah." You're fired.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Done.
You're fired. You're fired.
Done. Who's calling the shots over there?
The black people.
Apparently. Well, yeesh.
Am I wrong?
You're not, but it's, yeah.
I'm just saying what's true.
I would say more liberal people are calling the shots.
For this particular story, the black people are calling the shots.
Yeah, well, perhaps, but it's definitely a weird one. And then again, the double standard. Curt Schilling got the boot because he did something that was against the policy, and that's kind of odd. And then Linda Cohn got yelled at for saying politics shouldn't mix with sports, and that shouldn't work. So there's definitely a double standard there, and ESPN, who's losing customers by the moment, the dumpster fire increases. It's going to be interesting. And then there's the Sergio Dip story. Have you heard about Sergio? Sergio basically was this kid. Well, he's not a kid. He's 29 years old. Mexican-American. He was asked to do part of the commentary on Monday Night Football on 9/11. He was awful. It was pretty bad. And he got roasted. He got lit up like a Christmas tree in December. Everybody came out of the woodwork for ESPN saying that the trolls were bad people because they were picking on this Mexican-American kid. Again, he's not a kid. He's 29 years old. And he came on and did a whole spiel. He made his own little video to give to everybody saying, "Look, it's 9/11. You guys treated me horribly. And it's not, I can't believe this is right. This is happening in America, blah, blah, blah." Look, at the end of the day, the kid was bad. And it shouldn't matter what his nationality is. And you should be allowed to be like, "Dude, you were terrible." But instead, they made it into a race thing again. It's not cool. Like, I don't understand why it has to be that way.
This is the
And I don't want to talk about leftists. I want to talk about it's about results. It's a results oriented business. All of this, everything in America is results oriented business.
Fucking bad. This is the world we live in.
I want better, darn it. I want Ben Roethlisberger kicking ass in Cleveland.
I want Ben Roethlisberger in jail.
Well, there's that too. Jeez. You're just a downer today. All right, fine. Let's do I have anything else? Well, the Bruins signed Pastrnak. That's kind of cool.
Yay.
Hooray. Good idea there. The Indians, Cleveland, 22 in a row, breaking the record. And they had to come back. They had to come from behind to do it. Are you impressed by your Cleveland Indians?
Well, they're not my Cleveland Indians, but yes, I am impressed.
Awesome.
Well, what would you say? I actually didn't know that they were winning that much.
Yeah, they won 22 in a row. They're the new record holders.
Well done. Yes. Who's the previous record holder?
That's a great question that I don't know. But I wonder if Ben Roethlisberger is as effective on the baseball field than he is on the football field. No, you don't think so?
I think he's more effective in bathrooms.
No! Gee! Michael Bennett. Let's talk about Michael Bennett. Seattle Seahawk.
You stop when the police say stop.
Yeah, I mean, that was my first thought. Like, he made this whole spiel about race playing a big role and that he was threatened because he was a black guy. And then you find out that there was a lot of black people in that place, in the Vegas place where he was at, and the police told him to stop and he chose not to. And look,
he chose to run.
If the police
hide.
Tell you to stop, you stop. And the one thing that everyone talked that there's been plenty of conversation about, but what people have not talked about is that Michael Bennett is humongous. He's 6'4", 6'5", you know, 290, 280. He's a specimen of a human being. He's strong. He can lift trucks, for heaven's sakes. Yeah, I'm going to have my gun out if I'm a police officer, a normal 5'9", 6 foot. Yeah, I'm going to be terrified of this guy because he's gigantic. And if he's the shooter, God help you. But it turns out to be a false alarm, which, what about that? I don't know. I mean, what happened there? Shouldn't be a false alarm about a gunshot ringing out. But at the end of the day, it seems like a big misunderstanding. They let him go after 10 minutes, but he wants to make a big deal out of this because he's a social justice warrior, and that stinks. We don't need that right now, Eric. We need peace. We need working together.
I want to beat the crap out of that.
No, we can't. No. We're not talking.
I want to beat him up.
No. So two more stories that, you know, this is a sports section. Might as well finish off. Triple G and Canelo Alvarez fight tomorrow.
I don't.
I know you don't. But Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez, it's a fantastic fight. Only one loss between the two. Both of them knock people out at an alarming rate. It's a badass, badass fight. You should watch.
I don't care.
It could save boxing. It's way better than what Mayweather was in terms of that fight. It's actually worth the billing.
I don't care.
All right. Well, I like Triple G, so I hope Triple G wins, and hopefully it gets it done. And then lastly, this is kind of a sad, minorly funny story. Ireland, the racetrack. They have greyhound racing in Ireland.
Okay.
There's a greyhound, a particular dog, that continues to win and has won some big, big money, big, big races. Well, they found out that it's a cocaine addict. Now, first off, it's funny at first blush, but it's kind of sad that they're feeding this dog cocaine, because I really don't think he gets it on his own.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
But it's not shocking that the cocaine addict dog runs faster than the rest of them, right?
No, it's not really all that shocking. Okay. It actually makes a lot of sense.
So, don't do that.
Yeah. Especially if the dog comes down, he turns into a real dick.
Oh, man. I mean, no one wants to deal with that, do they? I mean, jeez. But, so that's the sports. I don't think we accomplished much except you complaining about liberals and,
liberals suck.
And don't give dogs cocaine, I think.
Well, leftists suck.
No, let's
leftists suck.
No.
They're terrible. They're awful human beings.
No, wait a minute. What's your opinion on dogs cocaine now?
The left sucks.
No, dogs are cocaine.
I don't think he'd be for it.
I don't think so either. I think he'd be really against it. So the Pope watch.
Unless he has a thing about dog racing. He's got a little bit of a
side action going on. Side action going on.
Give that dog some more coke.
Oh. Call the Lord's powder. Enjoy, puppy. Yikes. Okay. So let's talk about the Pope. It's the Pope watch. We do a Pope Watch here at the Empty Room Podcast.
I think the people that listen to this already know that we do a Pope Watch.
But I like talking about that. We're like one of the only people probably in the world that does a Pope Watch.
Fair enough.
So I want to slam that home. Because
slam it home every single time we do this.
Stop it or I'll give you the Lord powder too. Knock it off.
I'd be okay with
it. No, you wouldn't. Knock it off. So let's start with a standard Pope tweet. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Charity helps us know the truth, and the truth...
You can't read your writing.
The truth...
Truth is, you can't read your handwriting.
And the truth cares for acts of kindness. So basically what the Pope...
Read that first part again?
Sure. Charity helps us know the truth, and the truth cares for acts of kindness.
So, charity lets us... No, Paul Pierce, and Paul Pierce likes acts of kindness.
No. I don't think the Pope's talking about the truth, Paul Pierce, who's who's retired now and is not
so really involved. So he's got more time for charity.
True, but I think what he's trying to say, and forgive me, because who am I to interpret the Pope.
Considering you say words like interpretate, because you're an idiot.
Who am I? But I think what he's saying is that charity equals truth, and thus truth and kindness are equal, so charity and kindness go together, and that's how we help people. What do you think?
That doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
What are you talking about? I think it's a perfect interpretate of what the Pope's saying here.
Look.
And I think it's...
I don't know. It's just like, hey, charity... Wait, what is it again? Charity of what?
Just moving on.
No, this is weird.
Charity helps us know the truth.
The truth about what?
And the truth cares for acts of kindness.
The truth about what?
I don't know. That's what it said. It was the tweet.
Is he...
Do you want to go to another tweet?
No, hold on a second, because this is weird. Is he relating the truth to God? Is like...
I think it's up for
interpret... Capital T?
I think it's up for interpretate.
Let's get past that little thing.
Or interpretation. I think it's up for interpretation. I'm not sure what he's talking about in terms of truth. Obviously, he's comparing it to charity, and that kindness has to be thrown in there at some point.
He's making a cake of goodness.
Yeah, so just eat up.
So you
sprinkled with the Lord's powder on top, and
you got to throw in some charity, and when you do the charity, somehow you know truth. I don't know, and then you throw in some kindness. You know, sprinkle it on top with the Lord's powder.
Amen. What would that sound like by the Pope?
Oh, it's a spicy meatball.
I was hoping for the actual other version. The actual language, the Italian version of Wait a minute, the Pope's turning into the Swedish chef. That's not right. That's not right either. All right, let's go to another tweet. War is the negation of all rights.
War. Good God,
what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War. Let us pray for those who have the responsibility to avoid war between peoples. Look, besides the fact that we jumped in with the music from War, he's got a point. We need to pray for our leaders to make sure they don't jump into war without reason. You know, obviously,
I think a pretty good reason is a psychotic who wants to blow up the world. That's a good reason.
That's a decent one.
That's a very good reason.
That's a decent one. I mean, maybe that's the way to go. But I think his point is right. Think clearly. Really consider it. And let's pray for people that have to make those decisions. I think that's a good one.
Sure.
Good. Another Pope headline. Pope questions whether Trump is pro-life or not. Why he cares, I don't know. But well, I think he's just sort of poking the bear a little bit.
Well, because he's a pro-life guy.
I hope so. He's the Pope.
I would assume so.
He's got to be. I don't think he likes Trump, and I don't think Trump likes the Pope.
Because the Pope is a leftist lunatic.
He's the commie Pope.
He's a socialist Pope, which is the same thing.
I notice how you won't go that far to commie Pope. You don't want to take that step. And really, the only reason I think he's the commie Pope is that his stance on climate change, I think, is BS. But that's just me.
Which has nothing to do with communism.
Sure it does.
No, it doesn't.
Climate change, in my opinion, this whole climate change thing, is a big wealth transfer system. And that's what socialism is anyway. That's what communism is. You know, you're taking money from people and giving it to other people for votes. And you can always count on the people you've given the money to for votes. You won't necessarily get the votes from the people that you took the money from, unless they're clueless.
Which they are.
Could be. So, yeah. I mean, I think those two will never see eye to eye, and I think him publicly questioning what Trump's beliefs are, I think it's just a poke in the bear. It's just saying, hey, you know.
Which is never a good thing to do with Trump, because Trump will poke
Well,
back.
Trump's a jerk. I mean, he'll definitely fight back. He doesn't sit there and take much. So,
no.
We'll see how that... We'll get our popcorn and see how that goes.
Mm.
And then lastly, my favorite Pope story of the week. Pope gets left with a black eye and blood on his cape when he slams his head into the Pope mobile after a quick stop. Whoever was driving hit the brakes too hard and the Pope went ka-dunk against the front of the Pope mobile. He's got a black eye, he's got a shiner, and he's got a split cut on top that spurted blood all over the royal papal cape. Now, here's my question to you, Eric. Was the driver fired?
Or yes.
Is the driver going to hell?
No, he's not going
to hell. Or the person who actually stopped in front of the Pope early that made the driver stop early, is he going to hell or getting in trouble?
No, this is an accident. Pure and simple. No one's going to hell. At least not for this. Is that driver fired? Probably.
Do you think the Pope looked at him like cross? I'm sorry, Holiness.
But yeah, that guy's probably fired. And the dry cleaner better do a fucking hell of a job.
You imagine? Get this out. Woo! Okay. Pope, could I get some holy water there to put on that thing? And maybe we can... do you have a backup cape for a while?
Do you have any holy club soda? Club soda, get this right out.
Can you bless this right now? So that's our Pope watch. And, here we go. After, at the end of the day in this country, do you think? I mean, really, that's what it's all about. There's a lot of people that like to work. There's a lot of people that like to do things that are beneficial for the society and whatnot. But at the end of the day, we want to come home around 4, 5, 6 p.m. We want to put our feet up and we have some entertainment. Am I right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, let's get on with it, shall we?
Oh, okay. I want to start off with the new It movie, Stephen King's It.
I haven't seen it. Let's move on.
It is the top movie in the country.
Okay.
It is interesting in a lot of ways because people seem to love the movie. They love being scared.
Mm-hmm.
And clowns are getting the pushback, as we suspected.
Sure.
I want to talk about the fact that maybe the guy who played Pennywise in this movie might be or should be the next Joker. Because that was one of the things I read about, that they were very similar acting in the way that Heath Ledger did the Joker. What do you think of that?
Well, since I haven't seen it, I have no opinion on the matter.
All right. Well, do you think it's a possibility that someone like that could play?
Sure.
Joker?
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
One of the big problems with the movie I've also read, you haven't done any research, shame on you.
I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, but I actually did research. I haven't seen the movie either. Is that, I guess Georgie, we all know Georgie sort of, spoilers. We all know Georgie gets it in the beginning.
Sure.
Yeah. And in the prior movie, Georgie gets pulled down there, but you never see what happens.
Yeah.
And in the book, it's actually pretty quick. It just says Georgie was no more. And that was that. And this one, you see Georgie get it pretty good, you know? And it sucks to see a really cute kid who's trusting getting smoked. I've heard that's the toughest scene in the whole thing. So what's your feeling on that? Because that almost brings it too true, don't you think?
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you have... The original movie got pulled down and that was it. And it's not like they're taking from the source material, because in the source material, it just says, like you said, he was no more.
Mm.
So you're adding to the source material.
Right.
So, and this was unnecessary and for gore factor, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I have children, and I don't like any of the time where I see in a film that children get hurt. And this is one of those things that would bug me. You, who is not in that scenario, you still feel the same way, huh?
I feel the same way in that it was unnecessary.
Hmm.
If it's for the good of the movie, then yeah, it's fine. But if it's not necessary, which this clearly wasn't, then no. It's nothing to do with having kids, at least for me.
I know, for you it's not.
All right, let's move on.
All right, moving on. New South Park aired yesterday.
I don't care!
Well, that's good. However, I think you might be... You'd like to know that it was reported that people who were watching South Park, there are many, many fans, had problems and they were upset. Do you want to know why, Eric?
Because they didn't like what they had to say because they're stupid little snowflakes, me.
Actually, no. This one's even better. This whole episode is circled around Cartman and his love of Alexa, the Amazon personal servant thing.
Yeah.
And I guess throughout the episode, and I've seen the episode, in the beginning and especially the end, Cartman and his crew say, "Hey, Alexa," and something. And it was interacting with everybody else's Alexas that they had who was watching the show. So they were not happy because their Alexas were going off because they were hearing Eric Cartman say, "Hey, Alexa, put beer battered Perry balls in your shopping account." And putting your body there we go. So it's
probably part of the joke.
I'm sure it was knowing Trey and Matt's work. I'm sure that's exactly was part of the joke. Now, my favorite part of the joke. Bear with me on this. Try to visualize, Eric. But one of the things that's happening in this is that they're talking about how Alexa is taking the jobs. Our guys are back. You know, so Alexa's taking the jobs. And so they start protesting all the time, and they have Confederate flags. So they're waving these Confederate flags everywhere, right? So meanwhile, Randy is trying to hold his own redecorating TV show. And anytime he tries to do his show, these guys are protesting and waving Confederate flags around. So he takes them to court. And he's like, "Look, every time these guys show up and they start waving Confederate flags around, and it's getting interpreted as ours. And we don't want that. It has nothing to do with us." And they find every minute reason to wave the goddamn flag around, the stupid Confederate flag. And so it pans to the other side, and there they are. They're all sitting there. The redneck guys with the Confederate flags and whatnot, and all of a sudden someone goes, "Oh my gosh, a bee!" And you see a bee start buzzing around, and one of the guys stands up with his flag, goes, "Oh, get it!" Starts waving the flag. And then they use that joke again later on, same sort of scenario, except now they're at a restaurant, and one of the guys is eating soup, and he's like, "Oh gosh, darn it, Gerald, this soup's too hot." He's like, "Don't worry, Jerry, I'll get it!" And he starts waving his Confederate flag at it. So I think they nailed it out of the park. I know you're not a gigantic fan, but with the Alexa thing and the Confederate flag funny, it was pretty funny, I got to confess.
Yeah.
And I think they're off to a good start. And what do you think about Alexa being triggered by South Park?
That was pretty funny. That's a pretty clever thing to do.
They are clever.
I'm glad it worked.
If nothing else. So there's a new Hellboy coming, as you know, and they went with a different cast.
Mm-hmm.
The first pick of Hellboy has shown up now. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
It looks good.
It looks real good, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, I miss that Ron Perlman's not involved, but this guy looks pretty good. He was in Stranger Things, and hopefully it's going to turn okay. Do you have high hopes?
High hopes, no. Let's just say I hope it's good.
I hope so, too. Now, Louis C.K., have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Do you think it's true?
I don't know.
It's rumored.
He doesn't seem like the type.
That Louis C.K. likes to corner young femme fatales in his business, in the comedy business, and jerk off in front of them. I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about the man. I mean, I know he's a guy that everyone seems to like, and his comedy specials are really well thought of. But this feels like a Cosby situation coming on to me. It just does.
See, I guess, but I don't know. It just never seemed like the type to me to really do that shit. Doesn't seem like he cares enough to do that sort of shit.
His personality, I agree, does not seem to mesh with doing those types of activities. However, nobody saw Cos coming either, man.
that's a different thing. I think Cosby liked his celebrity. Whereas Louis C.K. is kind of like, he's more.
But the more powerful one grows, you know, the more the change.
I know, but there's always people like that are uncomfortable with their celebrity, whereas those who are not. Like Bill Cosby was always very comfortable with his celebrity.
And
he had no problem with it.
Right.
Louis C.K. was quite the opposite.
Hmm.
He's like, eh.
Well, the article I read made a good point, and that is he's not really fighting too hard with these types of issues in terms of what the media is reporting. And at the same point, the media who's bringing these things to bear, they're not really investigating further. So they're doing the man a disservice, because if it's true, he should be outed. If it's not true, they're slandering him pretty good. Mm-hmm. And he's going with the whole, look, I'm ignoring it right now. So, I don't know. Can't be cornering females and slapping the donkey. It's not cool.
I guess unless they want you to.
Yeah, I suspect these people didn't want him to.
You'd be surprised.
Fair point, fair point. And lastly, this is just an easy hit it out of the park. Planet Earth 2 won an Emmy. Have you seen the Planet Earth stuff?
No.
It's fantastic. So majestic and wonderful. They go through different parts of the world, and they highlight the animals and the terrain, and we learn about it. And Planet Earth 2, this was the second season. It was fantastic, and they won an Emmy. Pretty cool, huh?
Sure. That's all I got. I haven't seen it. What do you want me to do?
You have not provided much in this entertainment. I'm gonna say right now.
I think I provided quite a bit. Hillary Clinton's a murderer.
No. No. Let's move on. Moving on. Pivoting to news now, and are you ready for the news? I'm not sure if it's a great news lineup, but we're going to make it great.
We'll certainly attempt to. Sure, go ahead.
Turns out, China has admitted finally that they've been harvesting organs from prisoners of war and prisoners in general to be used to help their populace. It had been rumored for many, many years that they were doing this, and they finally admitted it. What's your take on that one?
Well, I'm not crazy on the prisoners of war part of it. I'm not crazy about any of it, actually. But
so you finally take that trip to China that you've always wanted.
Oh yeah, especially when I need a couple new lungs.
And you go to China, and as you do, you get way too intoxicated and you defecate in the middle of the street, and they pick you up and put you in prison. And then all of a sudden they're like, "Hey,
we're gonna take your spine away."
Prime Minister, what's his face needs a kidney. We got a nice guy over here who just defecated in the middle of the street. That was his street. Let's give him his kidney. I don't think that's cool at all.
No.
I got a real problem with that.
But it's, you know,
along with their policy on child, you know, yeah, how many child, I don't like this. I'm not going there.
China's weird. China's, you know, they're having trouble really getting out of this whole barbaric age that they were in.
Japan, on the other hand, seems to have done really well. They don't do any of that type
of
stuff.
Yeah, but they've gone from, like, they've gotten weird. They went from, like, you know, barbaric to upstanding to really weird.
Well, yeah.
Weird.
I love,
have you seen some of their programming?
Yeah, I love the, they have a section on Hollywood Babylon. It's called What the Fuck Japan. it's pretty good. They basically highlight all the stuff that they're doing over there. The one that I liked the least, made me cringe the most, was that they tie a tube to each person's mouth and there's a dead, like, insect in the middle and they have to blow hard and see who swallows it.
Ugh.
Yuck. What the fuck, Japan?
What the fuck, Japan, man?
But at least they're not harvesting organs from their prisoners. That's
at least that we know of. I hope they're not.
I hope not either. Here's another gross item. Apparently, people are selling secondhand sex dolls. So you could buy a sex doll that's been used many times and get a cheaper price.
Well, are they cleaning them?
I'm sure they're cleaning it a little bit.
Yeah, you say I'm sure, but
I mean, I don't know. It's like giving secondhand underwear. You just kind of don't do it, right?
I suppose. Yeah, you're right about that.
It's just,
but, you know.
Sex dolls are expensive. And, you know, Eric, I know you broke the bank on your three.
I know.
But you can't resell them. I don't think you can do that. So.
Well, let's be fair. One was a gift.
No, sure. Sure. Sure.
But you're right. It's really hard to get rid of those, you know, two times in every sex doll owner's life. When you buy it. When you get rid of it.
Look, as soon as you Usually you open the box, the value drops.
Usually you take it out of the store, the value is down by half.
Yeah, so I mean, you just got to...
And every use is down by 10%.
Yeah. I mean, and right now there is no certified buying program for these things. And the
you try and clean it, but you can't get everywhere. It starts to smell.
So it's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. I wouldn't do that.
The Red Cross is under fire. And I have, you know, Red Cross, I haven't been as impressed. There's been stories throughout the years that have made me think Red Cross is kind of up to no good. But there's a video going around that shows Red Cross tossing Hurricane Harvey donations in the garbage can. Not cool. So if that's
throwing money in the garbage can?
No, donations like clothes, like toilet paper. Like, you know, when these things happen, people don't just send money. They actually send items.
Mm.
So they're just getting rid of it. And that's not cool. What the fuck, Japan?
No, they have specific standards that they have to go by. And if they're not up to the standards, they have to get rid. They can't use them.
Well, what kind of standards are going to make you throw away brand new toilet paper?
I have no idea, dude.
Not 2-ply. Fuck that.
Well, I would have to agree there. No one wants single-ply toilet paper. Nobody. Nobody wants that. I don't care if they've been living, you know, chest deep water for the last 6 weeks. Nobody wants single ply toilet paper.
I don't know, Eric. I think standards would be pretty low. I mean, these are donations. People are doing this to try to help. You don't throw it away. Well, or at least you don't get a video showing it.
I want context. That's all I'm asking for.
Well, I don't have any, so.
Well, what else is new?
Oh, shut up. So the new iPhone has facial recognition.
Don't like it.
That's a bad idea. I don't like that.
Don't like it.
Oh.
Dun, 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 dun.
Here we go.
Now all the phones will know what I look like.
Here we go. This is what we've been talking about.
All the faces I make.
Oh, my goodness. This is where it's going to get crazy.
Facial recognition.
Oh, boy. Next thing you know, your toaster's going to have it. Next thing you know, your TV's going to have it. And your TV's going to get grossed off when you spank it in front of the TV. It's going to be trouble.
I know.
It's not good.
My TV already doesn't like it.
So you got to be careful. I think this is where the robot apocalypse begins.
Yeah, I think Apple's not doing us any favors.
Kill it with fire. Kill it with fire. Kill it with fire.
I'm still probably going to get one, though.
Yeah. I'm not. I'm out. Magic mushrooms. Eric, have you ever dabbled in the magic mushroom world?
I have not.
Well, apparently they're being tested now to deal with depression. So you can be upset, and we're one of the early shows we did a real good thing on depression, and we learned a lot from it, but I'm going to try to be funny about it now. You can be upset, and then you can go literally kiss the clouds with the magic mushrooms, and hopefully that'll put a smile on your face, and you will feel good about...
Before I claw my own eyes out.
Oh, well, I really hope that's not the case. What do you think? Do you think it'll work?
I don't fucking know.
It was interesting because I was reading about it.
I'll take full advantage of it, though.
I was reading about it, and not only is magic mushrooms getting a trial test, they're also going back to MDMA and also acid. So we'll see what...
I'm up for some acid.
Alrighty then.
I'm up for it. Let's do it.
Let's move on to the last story, and this one is my favorite story. And by the way, more often than not, the last story of... Every section is my favorite story because I leave it for the last. And you guys aren't stupid out there, but that's what's happening. Zach Braff found out. You know who Zach Braff
is.
Who's Zach Braff?
Former star of Scrubs. Has not done anything since.
Right. But he was JD on Scrubs. And he found out that his face and likeness as JD is being used in Russian ads for erectile dysfunction. He was pretty excited about it. In fact, he noted on social media, he goes, just found this out, JD being used for erectile dysfunction, and then he put hashtag blessed. and there's that going on.
See, I wouldn't actually ever be surprised that JD has problems getting it up.
Well, and he never did in the show.
He's getting older.
He was always banging. He was.
I know, but you know, these things happen when you get older. You know, he's
same with Dr. Cox. Dr. Cox was a very viral 50-year-old.
You mean viral?
Whatever.
There's a difference.
A viral viral.
He was very viral. Jesus, I hope he gets checked every once in a while. You mean virile? Oh,
what's the difference? There's a difference. Kick me right in the dick. Thanks.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty funny. I like that.
I wonder if he's gonna. Do you think he's gonna take action or just live it and love it?
I think he's just gonna live it and love it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't look like he's gonna do anything about it.
I think he just finds it funny. But it is true that you know, in Soviet Union, they were using his likeness for erectile dysfunction.
I think the least they could do is throw him a few rubles his way. I mean, it's not like he's doing much of anything these days.
He might need the money, so he might need to actually step up there and take it.
Yeah.
So we shall see. But you never know. The Russians are going to use your face for erectile dysfunction. That could be around the corner. What the fuck, Japan?
What the fuck?
Finally at the end, and it's time for the question. I only have one question right now, but it might lead to a couple others, but this is the one question, Eric.
Okay.
Is Stephen King the most Hollywood decorated author?
No. Well, I mean, are we talking about just in terms of quantity or quality?
Well, I think we're talking quality, because...
Not even a little bit.
Well... Wait a minute. Before you start jumping ugly there with Mr. King, obviously, I think he wins quantity, right?
I would think so.
I can't think of another author that's been utilized that much.
I don't
for TV and movie.
See, I don't. I'm not. I can't say that for sure. I mean,
you got two hit movies. You got a Dark Tower movie.
Well, hold on. Let's go through this now. All right, Mist, Dark Tower, Green Mile, It, twice, The Stand. All right. Tommyknockers, the
Thinner.
Yeah, but we're talking about good. All right,
we got The Shining.
The Shining was
time movie. We got
The Shining twice.
Sure.
We have to think about this in terms of quality.
Well, right now we're doing quantity.
We're past quality.
So he wins quantity.
He wins. All right, fine. He wins quantity. Yeah. He does not win quality.
Well, before you say that.
First, the Langoliers alone.
All right, well, the Langoliers, there's good and bad. Swings and misses, strikes and gutters.
There's good, and then there's awful.
Dude, I liked What's-His-Face in that movie.
You mean Balky?
Balky Baltakamos. Yeah, I like Balky in that movie.
It was terrible in that movie.
It was great.
Look, if you want to talk about...
You know, a banana and tailbite.
Who has the king of quality in terms of authorship? Tolkien. Without a doubt for me.
Well, because he's got The Lord of the Rings and the...
Yeah.
So how many movies is that?
Six.
Six movies. Now, The Shining. Quality top-level flick. Yes?
Yeah.
The Running Man. Now, it was an 80s flick.
No. But that's no, a great, absolutely that's not. That's a great absolutely
flick.
Not.
That's a great flick.
No, it isn't. It's an okay flick at best.
If we're talking
top that's tier.
A great flick.
Shut up.
You're not letting me finish.
No, I'm not letting you finish because you're not going to get away with Running Man.
The Running Man's awesome.
Which wasn't even authored by Stephen King under his real name.
It doesn't matter. It was still Stephen King who wrote the book.
I don't care. If he doesn't have the gall to put it under his own name, then.
Carrie, great flick.
Which one?
The first one.
I'm just making sure.
It's Firestarter. I mean, that wasn't a good.
That was awful. That Christine wasn't all that good. The Stand, even though I like it, wasn't all that good.
The Stand.
Second Shining, more.
Right. The Stand
is more true to the book, but the Stand not that great.
The Stand and the original It movie, and even the one you just talked about,
The Shining.
The Second Shining. They all suffer from the same thing that always happens with Stephen King books, and is that it starts off gangbusters and then sort of peters out at the end.
Yeah.
But there's definitely...
But if we're talking about quality, top-tier quality, I will give you The Shining.
Boom.
I will give you Green Mile. I'll give you Green Mile.
Green Mile's a great flick.
I'm not going to give you The Mist.
I don't want The Mist.
Hey, you know what?
You're a bigamist.
Oh, all right. I'm not giving you Running
Man. It's a joke for my parents.
I know. I'm not giving you The Running Man.
What? That's such a great flick. Are you kidding me? You're biased against really 80s cheesy movies. That was a great flick.
I love The Running Man.
That's a great
flick.
It was
a terrible movie.
No way.
I loved it, but
no
it was terrible.
No way. That was
awful.
That's what the 80s movies were all about, movies.
The fucking, the thing with Jesse Ventura going by in the background, and then running away.
That's
was
okay.
Terrible.
That's okay. Those were flicks that had to happen to create the Marvel universe that we have today.
God,
because
this
they were so good. They were so good.
Stephen King has quantity. He will never have quality.
I disagree. There's plenty of quality movies.
They weren't, no.
Because I put the new It out there. The new It is a masterpiece, they claim. So I'm going to put that out
there.
Well, I'm just putting it out there. I'm going with that. And then you have The Shining, the original one with Stanley Kubrick. Fantastic flick.
He took major liberties with.
Sure. I mean, it's not really close
to
what the book was.
Which he took major liberties with.
Doesn't matter. It was still written by Stephen King. He still got royalties. You said The Dark Tower was a good flick.
It was a good flick.
So there's another one. And then, we're going to get past six. There's so many movies to talk about.
No, but there's quality and then there's top tier quality.
Cujo. Good
not
flick.
Quality.
Oh, it was done in the 70s.
I'm just saying. What do you want me to
there's
say?
There's certain movies that can still stand up. I mean, granted.
Cujo's not one of them.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
I thought Cujo was a good. I was scared to death of that flick.
Yeah, I was scared to death of it when I was 4. Not now.
Oh, listen to you.
Listen to you.
Oh, my gosh. You got a problem with Stephen King. That's what's coming down to.
Well, he's a leftist.
That doesn't matter. We're talking about his
work. He's a leftist piece of garbage.
Doesn't matter. We're talking about his quality work, and he has provided entertainment throughout the years. He's the man, and...
Tolkien's better.
Well, Tolkien is a better person.
Tolkien's a better person, a better writer, and he has better movies out there.
But it's so few amount of books from him.
You got 6 movies out of 4 books. Holy shit.
Well, I mean, that was because the director, Peter, what's his face?
What's Jackson. His
name? Peter Jackson. For some reason, I was thinking Peter King, and I knew that was wrong. It's like, that's wrong. It's not right. You know, he stretched it out. Like he really stretched out the Hobbit.
In a good way.
I don't know. I like Lord of the Rings.
You don't like these smart movies?
I like Lord of the Rings, where there's a lot of walking going on. We're just going to walk from here to there. Whereas there's all sorts of ghoulish things that happen with Stephen King books. And
what are they doing? They're walking.
No, they're dealing with monsters, and they're dealing with this,
so
and dealing
much.
With that.
They still have to walk.
Come on, what about the Tommyknockers? What about the guy saying, that's where that quote was that I used in the last podcast. Kill them all, let God sort it out. That was a great flick. I don't know, man. I think you need to rethink this. You're jumping forward.
Stephen King may have the quantity, but he doesn't have the quality, especially not the top tier quality.
I don't know. I
think the only one he has in the top tier quality is The Shining.
That's pretty high level. That's the truth. But does that trump the other 6? Is it better than those 6?
No.
You don't think so?
Not even close.
I mean, it started a... I can't remember many scenes from any of those 6
Return
movies.
Return of the King alone blows The Shining out.
I remember some scenes, but not many. But I remember almost every inch of that Shining movie.
Well, different things for different people. I mean,
here's Johnny.
Don't get me wrong. There's some iconic stuff in there, but it didn't win Best Picture.
Oh, well, it should have. Anything Kubrick touches should have been, because he was
Which one won Best Picture? The Return of the King,
that was even the best one. The best one was the middle one.
That's not even true.
I believe that.
You think the middle one of any trilogy is the best
one? The middle one was the best one.
It wasn't, though.
There was a lot more.
Return of the King was way better.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, yes, it was.
So I want to go back to The Running Man for a second.
All right.
And pivot to my homeboy, JCVD.
Oh, Junk Club Vandam?
Yeah.
Why?
Here's why. And this is the bonus question.
Oh, okay.
Do you have Amazon Prime?
I do.
All right. You need to go right after we're done recording this and watch the first episode of Jean-Claude Van Johnson. It is quite frankly,
great. I want you to explain this to me, please.
It's quite frankly, it could be the greatest TV show I've ever seen. I turned it on last night because Amazon Prime has redone The Tick, as you know.
Of course. Have you seen it?
Oh, I've watched it. It's awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's so good. It's so good. My favorite part of that is when the badass guy's arguing with the boat. Are you going to leave again? Fuck you, Obama.
We can fight over there. Yeah. I don't know what's best.
I don't want to do this anymore. So they did another one. They made Jean-Claude Van Johnson. And it starts out with him standing there going, my name is Jean-Claude Van Damme. You might have heard of me. I was really a big, I was a big popular star in the 80s. And if you've seen Bloodsport, it's on all the time. And he's like, but now I'm just a normal guy. And this guy is coming right for me. He's going to try to kill me. And it pivots over, and you see a guy running with a tire iron. And he goes, but not to worry, I'm still the master of these splits. And he goes to do a split, and it doesn't work. And he only goes like halfway, and then the dude clocks him right in the chin. And he's on the ground. So that was the opening sequence. And I watched this thing, and I could not believe how thoroughly I enjoyed the show. It was unreal.
And how long is the show?
It's about, 45 minutes, I think.
So it's your basic hour.
Basic hour. Yeah. But it's funny because it's about basically Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He's spoofing himself?
Well, no. He already did that in another movie.
Oh, yeah. Is that the... I can't remember what it's called.
But it's about Jean-Claude Van Damme, who I guess there's many actors who become secret agents. And what they do is they go do these terrible movies. And while they're doing terrible movies, they go do spy shit for the United States. So he gets back into the thing because he sees an ex-girl that he used to work with that was in the CIA. Mm-hmm. And he gets back in and he doesn't really train for it. And he kind of gets in trouble. And I don't want to spoil it for you, but that scene, that pivot scene that I said in the very beginning that got me going.
Yeah.
That scene leads to one of the best moments in television I've seen in probably 5 years. Like, I just sat there and was laughing and loving every single moment of the whole thing. So, will you give Jean-Claude Van Damme a try here?
Yes, I will.
The muscles from Brussels.
Who can still do the splits. Maybe. Yes, I will absolutely give that show a shot.
And the next Empty Room podcast, can you give us your report?
I will.
On Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
I will do that. I will absolutely do that.
So that is the Empty Room Podcast. You can check us out on Twitter, on Facebook. We also have a YouTube channel that we don't really touch anymore.
And we should probably get rid of that.
Yeah, man. It was still the birth of our program.
We should get rid of it.
And we are also on SoundCloud, oddly enough. And we have many ways for you to get our content. Check out theemptyroompodcast.com. We have an Instagram. I mean, we're everywhere. Just type in Empty Room Podcast.
We're everywhere, but no one goes there.
Well, that's not true. We have fans, and we love every 7 of them.
That is about right.
So, all right. Jean-Claude Van Damme, baby.
I'm looking forward to Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Why do they call you Chance? Because my mama took one.